When the world is calling, getting there starts here. With over 55 nonstop destinations, including Montreal, and 20 nonstop flights a day to New York City, travel from Columbus is closer than you think. Start your trip at flycolumbus.com.
Manchester City is still alive here. Balotelli, Aguero!
Here goes Ronaldo!
Cross, and Dempsey's denied again! And Donovan has scored! Oh, can you believe this?
Surging forward with real menace here. Brilliant from Messi. Oh, what a goal that is!
From the Gao Studios in Houston, this is Soccer Matters. Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. Here's Glenn Davis.
Well, for joining me here tonight. Special Friday night edition of Soccer Matters here on ESPN 97.5. I thank you for joining me as usual. We continue the conversation of the global game. And as always, this show does not happen without our man behind the booth, producer Tyler Scott. And well, there's a number of things we're going to dig into tonight here. One thing I want to tell you tonight, 713-780-3776 is the number to call in. I'm dragging. I'm going to admit it up front here. I'm going to be accountable. I'm dragging. I'm going to deliver my best game here tonight, but you, the caller, I want to hear from you tonight again at 713-780-3776. We stream at ESPN975.com. You can follow us on Facebook, Soccer Matters. Twitter, it's Glenn Davis Sock. And what a week it's been for the sport of soccer. There's been some amazing things going on. So whatever's on your soccer mind tonight, it's open here. You may be driving around town. You may be on your way to a Christmas party. There were some people partying here at Gao Studios and Gao Media here tonight, which is always fun. I'm following the Blitz and A.J. Hoffman and Fred Fowler here tonight. So there's a lot going on here at the station, but it's an opportunity tonight for you, the soccer fan, to weigh in on whatever the topics is you would like. I will present a couple as well. Starting with this one. This has been an incredible, stunning, spectacular fall from grace for Chelsea manager Jose Mourinho. He's been let go at Chelsea, as we all know. He's done. He's dusted. He's gone like a freight train in 7 months. So the special one has flared out. He's flamed out with nary a sentence of his own accountability. For the last 6 months, he's blamed everybody from the media to physiotherapists to referees to a vendetta against Chelsea from the English FA. And ultimately, the final embarrassment for the club was him blaming all his players and throwing them under the bus. But there's no telling when he lost his locker room, but it's been gone for a while. And what I love is these apologists going, oh, no, it's just Jose and Jose's incredible manipulation of the media. He's just such a genius. Yeah, that goes out the window when you've lost five Premier League games, okay? It's amazing how people just will so, in such a partisan way, be so locked into what their belief is and not be able to look at things with a clear head. It's incredible. So even up until last week, is this another Jose masterstroke that he's blaming his players? Give me a break. He lost that place. He was an embarrassment to Chelsea, and he's a great manager. But it ain't happening. And he is truly self-indulgent, and that's part of his problem, and it backfired on him in this case. So where does he go next? Already the rumors of going to Manchester United, which I'm laughing at, because nobody's ever going to sign him at Manchester United. I'm sorry. Nobody's going to be bigger than the club at Manchester United. I can assure you that. That's why he didn't get it the first go-round, and David Moyes did. It's not going to happen. So here's my take on management and leadership. And I always thought that leadership was part of the strength of leadership is empowering others, bringing others in to supplement your areas as a soccer manager to where you're not strong. Or that could be for anybody, for somebody in business. It could be for somebody in politics, whatever. But we do know in this day and age, the blame game lies in the political arena. We see it now in sport. We see it now with kids. We are training people to not be accountable. And this is in the biggest thing that stood out to me was Mourinho never being accountable as a leader of men and as a leader of a soccer club in Chelsea during these rough times. I wanted to see the guy grab the bull by the horns and try and turn it around. And in the end, he just flamed out. Reminding him, hopefully, that he's a mere mortal like all of us. What a crash and burn. This was stunningly spectacular. And now Jose supposedly wants the Manchester United job, where Louis van Gaal is having real struggles. Here was a little thing on ESPN FC. It said, Jose Mourinho wants Manchester United to be his next job. Sources close to the Portuguese manager have told ESPN FC and representatives that they've already taken initial steps to try and make it happen. So, Manchester United fan, I know you're out there. Many who are Manchester United fans say, don't mention the name Jose Mourinho. Jurgen Klopp has weighed in, the coach of Liverpool. Quote, I wish Jose all the best. It's good to have a bit of rest as he worked constantly for many years at a high level. But will his ego let him rest? Can he step back and look at it? It was bizarre that this guy could not look at his situation any differently. He was so locked in, Jose Mourinho. So it's crashed and burned. I'd love to hear from a Manchester United fan that would tell me if he truly wanted to have a Jose Mourinho there, or if it's just an absolute joke that he would ever go there. Because no one's bigger than Manchester United. And by the way, his style of play, which is a huge criticism of Louis van Gaal, is not a fit for Manchester United. He won the Premier League by defending and counterattacking. It's the bottom line. It's the type of coach he is. I don't think he's as capable coaching an open style of play. So 713-780-3776. By the way, Manchester United's reeling from Champions League elimination to Wolfsburg. Recently lost to Bournemouth, which is an amazing story in the Premier League. Is Wayne Rooney declining? That's another question for tonight. Is Wayne on the downward slope? Manchester United fans, let's talk about it. 713-780-3776. Let's go to the phone lines. We'll start it off tonight here with Jeremy. Jeremy, what's on your mind tonight?
Hey, Glenn. How's it going?
Very good, Jeremy. How are you?
Good. I mean, you kind of hit the nail on the head with where I was going to go with the conversation. I have a couple points I'd like to make. First would be on $1 million.
Wait, say that again. You just cut out quickly, so say that again. Start over.
I was saying how Mourinho may want to go to Manchester United. There's no way that should happen. I think finally, and I've been saying this for a while, I don't think he's a good coach. I don't think he ever was. I think he won some titles and some trophies by what you had said, packing it in and counterattacking with a good, you know, forward like Drogba or something like that. And also the team.
Yeah, but let me just stop you there. And I don't mean to be rude. And I don't want to cut you off. And I do want you to finish your thought. But come on, a guy that's been this successful results wise has done some things correctly. There's no saying he's not a good manager. The guy has talent. The guy has had players believe in him, and he has achieved real success with Inter Milan. He's real success in Portugal, real success with Chelsea in the past. So I think we have to be careful, you know, to label this guy not a good manager. I don't believe that for a second. I think the man has incredible talent. What I don't think is that if you're that narcissistic and self-indulgent and want to be the show off the time all the time, it's going to come back to bite you, especially when you lose a bunch of games. And look, these are the same players that 7 months ago led this team to the Premier League title. They have some accountability as well. But in the end, Mourinho's handled this incredibly poor, and it's crashed and burned on him. So I'll give it back to you. But I don't agree for one second that he's not a good manager.
I guess I don't have a taste for the style that he's brought.
That's different, though.
That might be a better.
That's different, and I might agree with you in that area. Anyway, you go on.
And then, you know, I think what people lose a lot in coaches, and especially at, like, the youth level, is not so much the X's and O's, but like what kind of passion can you create for your players? And I don't, you know, the Chelsea team right now, if the chemistry is in disarray and you can see it on the field. You know, I don't know him at all, and I don't know any of his players personally, obviously, but, you know, how is he with his players? How is he motivating his players? How, you know, is that camaraderie between the club? You know, I just don't. Maybe that's a bigger problem than his X's and O's, which I don't even like as a player.
Well, remember, they've lost 9 games and he's out and has essentially been fired. So it didn't work. He threw his players under the bus out of ego. So it wasn't working. This was a fractured locker room, despite all the people with blue glasses on telling us it wasn't. Come on. This, like I said, this was a spectacular crash and burn.
Yeah, it's unbelievable that, to me, a club like Chelsea that has been good for X amount of years now and just won the title last year is almost literally in a relegation battle in the Premier League with the names. When Fabregas is coming off the bench, you don't expect to see that. And I just kind of wanted your opinion on that. I'll hang up and listen to the rest of your thoughts. Thank you.
Well, like I said, and I appreciate that phone call, like I said, this has been a crash and burn, and I'd love Chelsea fans to weigh in, those of you who are week in and week out watching them and are so glued to them and have a real emotional attachment to this. I would love to hear from you guys. 713-780-3776. Funny thing is, nobody really wants to talk about Chelsea now, but this is the time to talk about Chelsea. Chelsea will be back. They've got too much funding. They've got a billionaire owner. They will be back. They will be back with a different manager, and it could potentially be a very, very differing playing style. So it could be a healthy thing, actually, in the end. But nobody has ever won a Premier League title and declined this bad in the first half of a season. I mean, this was like watching a soap opera with this guy. It was incredible with Jose. And it was not fantastic. I am not fantastic right now. That's what Jose's probably saying. But no, he wouldn't be saying that. He would say, my players are not fantastic. And that's what he'd be doing. Because never took accountability for anything. 713-780-3776 is the number. 713-780-3776 is the number. So this is pretty incredible. I mean, it's a storyline. It's a storyline that will get even more coverage because it is Jose Mourinho and the press is all over him. You know, look how quick it's come that somebody has either planted something in the media or suggested that he'd be the coach of Manchester United. So it's a topic tonight. Let's talk about it. Chelsea, Jose Mourinho, that is one that we can talk about. Again, I don't think it'll ever happen at Manchester United. There's too many gatekeepers there. There's too many, you know, legendary players that still have a say and are respected immensely, and their opinion is respected immensely. I just don't think it'll ever happen. He's too big of a personality. It's also the reason why he didn't get the Barcelona job, in my humble opinion, is Barcelona doesn't want a coach to be bigger than everything. It is always the team first and the club at Manchester United and at Barcelona, and that's because everybody one day moves on, whether you're Wayne Rooney, whether you're Lionel Messi, you don't play the game forever. You are just another person keeping the seat warm for others. And, of course, the names I mentioned, there are two legendary players that no one will ever forget, obviously. But it's the fact. You're keeping the seat warm for somebody else. 713-780-3776. Is Wayne Rooney declining? Manchester United fans, anybody who's a fan of the Premier League, I'd love to know that. Couple of other interesting things I'd love your opinion on here tonight. Marco Fabian has joined Eintracht Frankfurt. Now, remember, Fabian had the great 2012 Olympics. Mexico won the gold medal. Fabian is 26 years of age. He's going to Germany during the transfer window period here in January. Now, he has spent his entire career at Chivas. Had one season alone with Cruz Azul. He's always had a dream to play in Europe. This is an interesting moment for Marco Fabian because he's got the label of being a bit of a partier, like we hear around a lot of players, quite frankly, from Mexico. If, in fact, he is not going a more mature soccer player at 26 to Germany, to Eintracht Frankfurt, and the German culture, he will crash and burn there. And I think this is a pivotal moment in the arc of his playing career, Marco Fabian, because he's incredibly talented. And I saw this guy hit a scissor kick over the head against Real Madrid. I've seen him do some spectacular things on the soccer field. I mean, he's blessed with incredible gifts, incredible technique. He can play from a wide area. He can play behind a striker at the top of a midfield. He's excellent. But is he mature enough now? Is he at this moment somewhere in Guadalajara, Mexico, thinking about the level of professionalism that's going to be needed in the German Bundesliga? Is his agent guiding him in that area? Because he's, again, 26 years old. And by the way, it's not an excuse at 26 to not be a bit more mature, quite frankly. So his dream has been, Marco Fabian, to play in Europe. Now he's getting the opportunity. Now, the other factor here is that Eintracht Frankfurt is in a relegation battle. By the way, former or Dynamo midfielder Ricardo Clark had a brief stint at Eintracht Frankfurt. Didn't play too much there. Had a lot of injury problems, but he was at Eintracht Frankfurt. So it's a good one to contemplate. But I think this will be pivotal. If Marco Fabian does not go to Germany with the right attitude, the understanding of some of the things that he will meet culturally, without the ability to adapt there, his European adventure will be over before it gets started. Now, if he is on top of some of that stuff, he could end up playing there for many years. And by the way, Chicharito Hernandez is doing a wonderful thing for the Mexican soccer player. By being successful in Germany, he is shining the light on the Mexican player, and rest assured, Mexican internationals and talented players in Mexico are being considered in a very different way simply because of the way that Chicharito has produced so quickly, so rapidly, and so beautifully for Bayer Leverkusen. We will take a quick break here. Soccer fans, Bud Light again remind you that well, the Copa Centenario is coming here. All kinds of great content coming through Houston. Women's qualifying will be down at BBVA Compass Stadium for the Olympics in coming months. Bud Light reminds you that you want to get down to BBVA Compass Stadium, experience the amazing events that come through that stadium when it comes to the Dynamo, the Dash, and international soccer. Bud Light is the perfect beer for whatever happens. Bud Light, the official beer of Soccer Matters, right here on ESPN 97.5. We'll take a break. It's a Bud Light break.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. From the Gao Studios in Houston, here's Glenn Davis.
And welcome back to the show. Man, there's a lot of people having a good time around here. It's not you and me, Tyler. You know, there's a nice party going on in the back. Whose going away party is it?
June. She's...
June.
Does some of the administrative... payroll and stuff like that.
Wishing June the best of success and... it's nice here at Gao Media. Nice small family here. Everybody takes care of each other, and everybody's having a good time. While I'm having a good time, I'm on the radio, too, here with you, the soccer fan. 713-780-3776 is the number to call in here. Quick word here for Amigo Energy. They remind you that time is now for electricity savings. This month's featured product at Amigo Energy is Assurance 24. Now, this is a program that will offer you a single all-in rate, all usage levels, with no customer service or payment fees. So if you want to save money, this is the program for you. It's ideal for people that live in apartments or for anyone who doesn't use a lot of electricity. So if you're kind of like me, you're tired of getting hit with these low usage fees or surcharges or having to pay fees when you call in your payment, well, Assurance 24 is the program for you. You want to save money? It's the time of year to do that. It's AmigoEnergy.com/soccer matters. AmigoEnergy.com/soccer matters. Enroll today. Or call 888-995-9299, 888-995-9299. All right, so pivotal moment Wednesday night. Abby Wambach, one of the greatest female athletes of all time, leading scorer in the history at the international level, both men and women's. spectacular player. He's done so much for the sport. Someone who used to be pretty frequent on my shows. We all know the defining moment in Olympics and World Cups with her, and her aerial game, her just joie de vivre when it came to the game of soccer, her passion. So she did a podcast. Her retirement game was Wednesday night, which was in New Orleans. This was about celebration, in my opinion, of her career for the fans and everybody, but then likewise for her to sort of reciprocate that back with the fans, which I do believe happened. But the day before, she does a podcast with the guy, Bill Simmons. And here's a quote that comes out. Now, remember, this is a full podcast, so I want to make sure you understand this is over the content of a pretty long interview that was interesting in a lot of different ways. There was a little bit of gushing going on, I think, maybe, if that's fair to say. But anyway, here's the quote. For some reason, she's led into talking about Jurgen Klinsmann and the U.S. men's national team. So she decides to talk about the U.S. men's national team.
Oh, man. I would definitely fire Jurgen. Sorry, Sunil. Sorry, U.S. soccer. But I don't think that Jurgen and the litmus test on him has worked. I think that.
Why hasn't it worked?
Well, I think that he's tried to change. Well, first of all, he hasn't really focused, I feel like, enough attention on the youth programs. Although he says he has, I don't think that he has.
I don't agree either.
And I also believe that the way that he has changed and brought in a bunch of these foreign guys is just not something that I believe in wholeheartedly.
You mean like hired guns from other countries, basically?
Exactly, and I don't believe in it. I don't believe it in my heart. That doesn't make, you know, this, you know, and I love Jermaine Jones. I love watching him play, you know, but, and I love Fabian Johnson, and he plays in Germany and is actually killing it right now after being sent home for faking an injury, quote unquote, faking an injury. But, you know, I just think that, this experiment that U.S. soccer has given Jurgen isn't one that personally I'm into, and you know, it's got to be interesting for those guys to see their coach take off in a helicopter and fly home to his home, and then back to training.
Can I be your agent?
Can I be your agent? Okay. So, this was strange to say the least. Look, if this happened a month after the celebration as opposed to the day before, which I believe this was, then, you know, look, there's going to be people who want to hire Abby because of who Abby is as a celebrity and a great soccer player and a great female athlete. But it doesn't mean that dribble doesn't sometimes come out of the mouths of athletes who get platforms. So, let's look at what she said about Klinsmann and the U.S. men's national team. And by the way, she's allowed to have her opinion, and I think it's great, and I'm glad she's opinionated. But this one might have needed a little bit more thought. This was a long interview. There was talk about her retirement and all that, and there was talk about head injuries. There was talk about heading. There was a lot of things in this because it was extended. But this was just kind of strange to be commenting on the men's game. So, she, you know, why not try change? That's why Klinsmann was initially hired. So maybe his time is up in the opinion of Abby Wambach. That's great. But who didn't think we needed to try something different in this country? And yes, Jurgen Klinsmann should be held to the fire just like anybody else. Hasn't focused on the youth programs. Well, Abby has to understand that player development in this country on the men's side is very, very different on the women's, and that it's in a very early stage of the arc. And as much as we hear the publicity around us all the time that, you know, our academy programs are producing like crazy, they are producing. They have not fully matured. They're farther along with certain soccer clubs in the U.S. than others. They will be the responsibility will fall upon the Major League Soccer teams. And as the smoke will clear here in the future, you will see certain teams, and you've already seen it to a degree, that have done it correctly and are doing it in the right way and are making the true investment. Now, some are going to do it in a very differing way, which is more cost-effective, and which is, and I'm talking about player development, which is more cost-effective and is a way of sort of adhering to the mantra and the edict from MLS that, hey, you've got to get into player development. But we're going to find out who truly believes in it and who doesn't. And you'll see it by the way moves are made. I don't think there's any question. Dallas, they believe in it. Proof is in the pudding. Proof is on the field. And there are other teams as well. LA Galaxy just signed two players from their Galaxy 2. They're going to begin to reap benefits. It's easy to shoot generalizations out there. She also said that Klinsmann hasn't focused on the youth programs. Maybe he hasn't. And there's been word that Greg Berhalter's brother has done more of that. But the fact is U.S. Soccer needs to focus more on the youth programs. And just setting up an academy, it's more than that. But the real pressure is going to come to Major League Soccer teams on player development. Now, foreign players, that's a bizarre one as well from Abby, who blasts, servicemen and women who have had children with Germans who have dual citizenship. Memo to Abby, the whole world when it comes to men's soccer is looking for anybody who have potential status from a nationalistic standpoint that can play for their national team. So that's part and parcel of being competitive on the world stage. It's very different, I think, to a degree than the women's game. But then again, her teammate, Sydney LaRue, was lobbied for and pried away from Canada. So, that doesn't make a lot of sense for somebody who, to me, rightly so, wants diversity and opportunity for everybody. So that was a little bit nebulous to me. That was kind of strange. Calling these players hired guns. Really? I don't know. Hired guns? I mean, they have an American parent. It's different. But you know what? Here's the other thing. This got people talking. So you had people that are outside the real coverage of soccer, like a Bill Simmons. Oh, he's got a daughter that plays, by the way. That's his link. But a lot of people that normally don't talk about the game of soccer that began to talk about it. And that's a good thing. The more Bill Simmons talks about soccer, great. The more mainstream media talks about soccer, great. So, the real moral of the story is that Abby Wambach talking got people listening. But the other element here is that it was just, to me, bizarre. It was just, I don't know why you're talking about that when it's a time of celebration and other things. And, I saw her in Seattle warming up and training, and she's always been excellent on my shows, and I have the utmost respect for her, but she didn't look happy. Didn't look like a happy person. Looks like somebody wrestling with a lot. And I hope she is now. And she will have a ton of opportunity. I don't think there's any question. The fact that Klinsmann flies in with a helicopter, yeah, that's pretty different. He has a license. So, I don't know. It was an interesting interview, to say the least. So, we'll see what happens with Abby Wambach in the future. And, she said she wants to basically walk away and not be sort of remembered. She deactivated all of her social media accounts before she went on the field for her game Wednesday night. My gut is one day they'll be activated again. Fans were there to see Abby Wambach. By the way, China won the game 1-0. That broke a 104-game home streak for the United States. This was in New Orleans. And she took a real different approach. She is obviously one of the greatest athletes in women's sports history. More international goals than anyone, man or woman. But, she's led the way in a lot of ways and has had a platform and did have a platform. So interesting that she would weigh in on Klinsmann. You know, she also weighed in on the fact that women aren't getting paid the same monies as World Cup champions. On the men's side, and yes, the discrepancy is too big, but I think you also have to factor in the fact that the men's game is more popular than the women's game worldwide. I don't think that's any question. I think you have to keep that a little bit in perspective. I just don't think you could all of a sudden change those terms. I think they do need to change. I think the women need to be paid more. Do they also have to factor in the popularity of it from a corporate standpoint and all that? Yes, I think you truly do. All right, so let's get your thoughts on Abby Wambach or anything soccer-wise. 713-780-3776. Let's go to Ray. Ray, what's on your mind tonight?
Yeah, I just want to talk about Abby's comments. And in my personal opinion, the countries that embrace the globalization of the player pool are the national teams that are going to even be better. Germany has had quite a few Poles and other people.
Turkish background. Turkish background with Mesut Ozil. But look, this is clear. On the men's side of international soccer, it's a necessity that you're looking beyond your borders.
Right, I would agree. And then especially here in the United States, because when you look at it demographically, there's going to be a lot of these dual nationals that, in my personal opinion, we're going to develop a lot. And particularly from the Americas, and so it's going to be really interesting to see when we have a Colombian American or Argentine American come to our youth system, who is highly sought after, and see where he's going to play. So I mean, if you're trying to entice people dual nationals, I think it's the wrong message to send. I think it's a not necessarily disagreeing with what some of the things you said, but working the kinks out in with the domestic player and the global player is that's the key to the future.
Yeah, well, I think she would want that one back probably, and when she reflects back on it, because look, we've had this issue with Mexican American players. I mean, consistently, what's the difference between that and a German American? I mean, same thing.
Right, and I would agree. I would also just say the other part, too, is when you talk about equaling the pay scale, either the women are going to have to start generating more money like the men, or you're going to divert funds from the men to give to the women, which is going to slow the growth. We're talking about money, really. It's going to slow the growth of the men's game. So you're going to, I would really like to ask her, how would you equal the pay?
Well, first of all, the men's game is not going to slow. It's a worldwide game. The best thing would be to do is, and I think the process of vetting these people out and extinguishing and getting out all these sort of criminals that have been involved in the dole, which is called FIFA. If we get some of those monies back, there'll be plenty to give to the women. And they have plenty already to give to the women. And I think they do need to up the monies and certainly raise, if you win a World Cup, to more. I don't think there's any question a little bit of that would be good. But I also don't think it has to be right away equal to the men's because of a lot of reasons. The men's game is more popular globally. There's the whole corporate side of it. I think you have to be very careful in how you do that. But I also think it's needed. Don't get me wrong. I also think it's needed. I don't think 100%. I believe that these women need to be paid more.
Right. And the last point I'd like to make is making an impact in minority communities where the soccer is not really popular. And I interact with children. I'm in the inner city here in Milwaukee, and the majority of them tend to be African-American. And I asked about 50 African-American girls from the ages of 18 to 10, the key demographic in soccer. And I asked them, could they even name me Abby Wambach or a women's soccer player? This summer, while the Women's World Cup was going on, and not a single one of them could do it. I know it's a small sample size, but I'm just, I truly believe if you're going to be this vocal about other issues, why don't we bring about issues about bringing this game to the minority, and particularly the African-American?
Well, I don't think there's any question. That doesn't happen on the women's side as much as it happens on the men. I think there's more people making an effort on the male side of the game here in the United States to get into these communities. I think the women's game goes more off clubs in the middle to upper middle class. I'm hoping that they're infiltrating people from the inner city into these clubs. I think there are some, but I don't think there's been a real wave made there, because the college game continues to be the great supplier of soccer players pretty much around the world.
Right.
Women's college game. Let me tell you, the women's college game, by the way, which I did the NCAA Women's College Cup 2 weeks ago in Cary, North Carolina, which is a wonderful facility, a wonderful field. It was sold out, the final. I did the game with Julie Foudy, who everybody knows is the great 1999 World Cup winning team that really, I think, changed women's sports around the world. Let me finish.
Okay.
My point is that the college game is incredible for the women right now, and it is for the men too, but in the case of the women, where, you know, it's a little bit different, this is player development at the college level for the NWSL and what lies ahead in the national team. And the facilities now that are around the country for the women's game, and the amount of games that are televised now, whether Longhorn Network, SEC Network, Big Ten Network, Brigham Young's got a station. I mean, some of these women are going to colleges now, and 60% of their games, 70% of their games are on television.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yep.
I would just like to say, too, about Jose Mourinho, is that this season was horrible and completely failed. But could you also argue then last season was probably his greatest season as a coach, because of the player pool, in my personal opinion, is showing what it really is. Wasn't very good. I think this team underperforms because they're just not very good.
Come on. Hazard, Willian, Costa. I think Costa came in unfit. I don't think there's any question that some of the accountability lies at the players. I mean, it's not just the manager. But the manager's supposed to, you know, get the best out of people. He's supposed to empower people. This guy panicked. He couldn't handle it. He blamed everybody and anything. So, no. Are you kidding me? The riches on that team? Come on.
Well, then how can you explain last season then?
How do I explain last season? I explain it in two ways. They were the best team. They waltzed to the title in a year.
Player for player, they were the best team. I would disagree with that. I think Man City's been the player for player,
well,
the best team.
City had the better talent, then you would have to just even go to another level and say then Mourinho got the best out of him. I don't think they played great soccer in the second half of the season, but they were so far out in front. I mean, it was boring. It to me, it was not very interesting. It was effective. But I also would argue that this was maybe one of the years in the Premier League that maybe from a competition standpoint, it was a little down.
I would agree with that 100%. And then as for Marco Fabian going to Germany, I'm a Chivas fan, and I'm kind of disappointed. We're fighting off relegation here, and he's selling off one of his best players, even though he's an inconsistent player, in my personal opinion. But you've got to spend the money and keep these players, especially this season, second half of the season.
Well, he's been trying to go for a while since the 2002 Olympics, 2012 Olympics, when they won the gold medal. Look, they can't hold him back anymore. And by the way, you mentioned he's inconsistent. He is going to have to find consistency in Germany if he's going to survive.
Yeah, that's one of the biggest reasons why I don't think he's not disciplined enough, in my personal opinion.
Well, it's all to be found out.
The level of consistency.
Well, it's all to be found out, because sometimes an environment will help breed consistency. At some point, he's got to mature. He's 26 years old. This is going to be the time, because if he doesn't make it in Europe this time, it'll be very hard to go back.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Thank you, Glenn. You have a great night.
You
great
too, show. Ray. Thank you very much for the phone call. Thanks for all the ideas, the topics, and your thoughts on the program tonight. So I appreciate that from Ray calling in from Milwaukee. We are going to take a break because Tyler Scott tells me so. We're going to take a Bud Light break. We'll make it a 7-Up break. Make it a Danish Inspirations Contemporary Furniture break. Maybe even an Amigo Energy break. Right on down to Daspit Law Firm. Take a quick break here. We come back with much more here at Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5. I'm Glenn Davis. We break.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. From the Gau Studios in Houston, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, quick word here again for Amigo Energy. Our good friends over at Amigo Energy remind you that this is a great time to be saving money on electricity. This month's featured product for Amigo Energy, Assurance 24. The program offers a single all-in rate at all usage levels with no customer service or payment fees. The program is perfect for people that dwell in apartments, live in apartments, or for anyone who doesn't use a lot of electricity. So if you're tired of getting hit with low usage fees or having to pay the fees when you call in your payment, well, Assurance 24, this is the program for you. All right, so let's support Amigo Energy here, who support the game of soccer on the radio. So here's how you do it, and you save money. You go to www.amigoenergy.com/soccermatters. www.amigoenergy.com/soccermatters. You enroll today, or you call 888-995-9299. 888-995-9299. You sign up for electricity savings today. It's a great opportunity. You want to save money. It's amigoenergy.com/soccermatters. All right, welcome back to the show. All right, what's your thoughts on Abby Wambach and her retirement? What an unbelievable soccer player she was. She had some strange comments, I thought, and the timing of it to me was strange on Jurgen Klinsmann. But she is opinionated. So I posted something over at Facebook Soccer Matters on her and got a lot of different, very differing and interesting opinion back from people. Adam says in talking about Wambach, she's preparing for life after playing. Maybe a commentator who likes to ruffle feathers. Well, I would say to that, Adam, those opportunities are going to roll in for her. I don't think she needs to prepare. I think those are there for her. Again, to me, this was about celebrating her moment. You can do the interviews about Jurgen Klinsmann and the national team once you're done with it. Everard says, I haven't read the comments other than quotes that seem potentially out of context. Sounds to me like Simmons asked her a direct question so she held no punches. Yeah, you got to kind of listen to the interview, but I think you can avoid speaking about things at the wrong time if you like. But it was a very, you know, it was a long interview. It was very loose, and I think sometimes you can say things in those types of interviews. Amet says this about Abby Wambach talking about Klinsmann and the national team on the men's side. Bad timing, my friend. She made a huge mistake. She should never have said that. Hamilton says, I said the same thing. I lost respect for her. Klinsmann is still the best in my book. Carl says, time, place, manner. She got all three wrong. Sean says, she sounds almost as bad. Well, I can't say that. I'm not going to say that. Jeff said, kind of like U.S. Soccer announcing Carly Lloyd as a player of the year, overshadowing the same day Abby plays her last match. It wasn't necessary. So that's a sample of what's come in over on Facebook Soccer Matters. I hope you can get over there because we have a lot of good conversations over there. I post hot button topics. I post some of my opinions, and we mix it up over there. It's great. There's a lot of fun over there. We'll have some fun items over there as well. So there's a lot going on over there with Abby Wambach, Jose Mourinho right now. I posted Abby Wambach's tribute video. We've also got a player named Kenny Saif, who is a dual international, who Abby Wambach probably would not want on the U.S. men's national team based on her comments about all the German-Americans playing for the team. But that's another one you can look at. There's a lot of Abby over there, though. And then, you know what I also love? I love the fact that Riyad Mahrez, who's one of these guys at Leicester, along with Jamie Vardy that are leading the way, he's an Algerian. Here's what he says about people trying to now come for him because he's having such a successful season with Leicester City, who, by the way, is at the top of the Premier League. He was at a club in France. He says, I had 6 months left. Nobody came to get me. Leicester tried very hard to get me. I could feel that they wanted me. I took the decision without knowing the culture or the area. It was a risk. When you come from far away and you end up in the Premier League, it makes you happy. I am happy that I signed for Leicester. Doesn't that, I mean, that makes you feel good. Because there's so many athletes that are just playing the game of how much money can I make and when do I need to go and agents pushing them to go. And then you hear something that's really heartfelt like that. It just makes you feel good about the game. You know, guy's so adamant that he wants to take a chance for this group where he doesn't even know the culture because they want him. And I would say this to any kids that are trying to play collegiate soccer. Remember, there is a value to a coach that wants you and shows you in a real meaningful way that he wants you. And it may not be your first choice because it may not seem as glamorous, but it's nice to be wanted. Now, Leicester's going to have a hard time hanging on to him in the future. I don't think there's any question. But we also must remember that Mahrez and Jamie Vardy are not the only guys who have made this team go. Certainly they needed goal scorers and creators. But there have been a lot of guys who have contributed to this amazing run by Leicester City, who are atop of the Premier League. And by the way, it's Claudio Ranieri, the manager, formerly the manager of Chelsea. And this is his quote. He says, quote, no one can buy Vardy or Mahrez in January. They don't have the money, and they don't have a price. Gotta love it. All right, so earlier today I was down at BBVA Compass Stadium. The Dynamo in town, finding housing, trying to settle families. There are two new signings from the Philadelphia Union. Christian Maidana, who spent 3 years playing for Spartak Moscow in Russia. Imagine that, an Argentine taking his family and going to Russia. A little bit different, challenging. He will tell you about it. And also Andrew Wenger was down there as well. Two guys that are a big piece of the future for the Dynamo. So here's a quick couple of questions that I did with Christian Maidana. There was a translator here, so we go through the translator. All right, so just talk about the excitement, Christian, of coming to Houston, Texas, and playing for the Houston Dynamo.
Cuéntanos sobre cómo te sientes venir acá a Houston, jugar por el Houston.
La verdad que muy contento, ¿no? El primer momento que me dijeron para venir, la verdad que le tomé de la mejor manera. Y nada, ya estoy acá, ahora esperemos empezar a los cuantos antes a entrenar y bueno, ya ponernos a disposición del entrenador, ¿no? Pero muy contento.
I am very happy to be here. I took it in the best way possible and I'm excited to be here and start training and get to meet everyone.
Let's talk a little bit about being a number 10. The Dynamo haven't had a player in that position in a long time, so the fans are excited about having a number 10 and you're that person who's coming here to fill that role.
Lo mismo, ¿no?
Sí.
La verdad que... Como dije antes, muy contento por ese número 10 que voy a usar acá o que voy a usar en la cancha. La verdad que muy feliz. Trataré de tomarlo de la mejor manera. Trataré de trabajar para que la gente esté conforme conmigo. Feliz por venir a usar esa posición, ¿no?
I'm very happy to come here and play that position. I want to live up to everyone's expectations and exceed expectations and help the coach with everything and play number 10.
How about growing up in Argentina? You know, whenever you're a creative attacking player, there's a lot of pressure even when you're very young. What's it like in Argentina growing up and being somebody that they call, quote-unquote, the number 10?
¿Cómo era creciendo en Argentina y siendo ese jugador que toditos veían como el número 10?
La verdad que contento, en ese momento tenía 20 años y la verdad que la gente me veía como un buen jugador que iba a salir, la verdad que contento, feliz, trabajaba siempre para tratar de hacerlo mejor. Y la verdad que de muy chico me salió bien las cosas. Esperemos que ahora, ya teniendo 29 años, ya el año que 28, el año que el mes que viene cumplo 29, así que les trataremos de seguir haciendo lo mismo como cuando tenía 20, ¿no?
It was very exciting. I was 10 years old. It was one of the best things I could have heard. And definitely I want to keep playing that position, playing well, being great number 10. Now that I'm 29, I'm going to turn 29 soon. I want to keep being the same player, if not better.
So let me take you into details. What type of number 10 are you?
¿Qué tipo de número 10 eres?
Me gusta mucho Juan Román Riquelme. No sé si lo conocen. Bueno, él hace mucho, a veces mucha pausa, ve muy bien dónde está la defensa parada. La verdad que no soy igual que él, pero me gusta mucho cómo él juega. Siempre estoy viendo videos de él, así que trataré de venir a hacer lo que hice este año. Ese número 10 a mí me gusta, así que esperemos que me vaya muy bien.
I really like the way that player plays. I want to emulate him. He's very tactical, he pauses, he watches,
it'll
be just like that.
Juan Román Riquelme.
Yes.
Last question. 3 years Spartak Moscow in Russia. It's a pretty different place for an Argentine to be. What was it like in Russia?
¿Cómo era en
Rusia?
Sí, en Rusia.
La verdad que me fui con toda mi expectativa de ser uno de los mejores, pero la verdad que después de 6 meses ya no quería estar más ahí por el tema de que es muy diferente estar en Rusia. La gente es muy aislada, la verdad que son muy fríos todos, pero me hizo bien para crecer. La verdad que tuve oportunidad de jugar Champions League, tuve que jugar Copa UEFA, y la verdad que eso crecí mucho y aprendí muchas cosas. Pero estar en Rusia es muy difícil para la familia, es muy difícil. Bueno, por eso fue que no terminé mis 5 años de contrato. A los 3 años directamente dije que no daba más, no podía estar ahí, y bueno, terminé mi carrera en Rusia y busqué otras cosas, ¿no?
It was very difficult, an extremely difficult experience for me. Everything was cold, people were cold. I definitely learned a lot from it, helped me grow. But 6 months into the experience, I was ready to leave Russia. But I'm very happy I got to go, because I got to experience different championships and the Champions League. It's very hard on the family, it's very hard on all of us. So that's why I wasn't able to finish my contract. I only completed up until 3 years.
Bienvenidos to Houston.
Muchas gracias.
And get ready for not the cold weather, but the warm weather.
Gracias.
Thank you, Christian.
Mucho gusto.
So that was Christian Maidana today down at BBVA Compass Stadium. Apparently he's already found housing, a family, a little boy, and children. We'll come back. I have a couple more thoughts on Maidana and the type of number 10 he is. And there's going to be pressure on him. I don't think there's any question. There's going to be pressure on the Dynamo to get it right here in year two with the new general manager, Matt Jordan, and of course, the manager, Owen Coyle, who we'll talk to next week as well. Looking forward to that visit. We'll take a break here as we do. A quick word here for the Daspit Law Firm. They work for you 24/7. Now, we all need a good Houston personal injury attorney when we have problems, whether it's a medical injury, industrial, 18-wheeler accident, wrongful death. You got to have a good law firm on your side. DaspitLaw.com. It's John Daspit. His company has done a wonderful job. DaspitLaw.com, 713-364-0915, DaspitLaw.com. Now, with the Daspit Law Firm, you rest more assured. You're confident that you've got a hard-hitting, exceptional lawyer on your side, dealing with the circumstances of your accident. And they're hard-hitting, and they fight for your right for compensation. Everybody needs one. Contact the Daspit Law Firm. They are supporters of Soccer Matters here on ESPN 97.5. And my personal thanks to John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. Call them at 713-364-0915 or toll-free 888-273-1045. Both in English and Spanish. All right, let's get a couple of calls in. 713-780-3776. Your thoughts on the Dynamo now getting a number 10. Are you interested in seeing how the playing style will shift with an actual number 10 in the team in Christian Maidana? Andrew Wenger, likely going to be a player that's going to play out wide. That's why he's being brought in. I'll talk about Andrew Wenger as well. So some Dynamo talk as well. If you're driving around in the car, I want to hear from you. Abby Wambach talk. We can talk Chelsea, Jose Mourinho, Leicester. You name it, we talk it. Platform is yours. You want it? Take it now. 713-780-3776.